Thrive Fantasy is a new DFS app for prop bets, and if you know anything about me, you know that I love a good prop bet. They have streamlined the drafting process and eliminated the need to do hours of research by using only top-tier athletes. Instead of the traditional salary cap DFS format, you just build your lineup around a list of prop bets. For each contest, you choose 10 prop bets, plus 2 extra picks that protect you from any late scratches or postponed games. Each unique prop has an over and an under point value assigned to it, and you will be rewarded that point value if the prop grades out as correct. The person with the most points wins. Peer-to-peer betting, prop betting, can't beat it. TakeCast listeners can get a free $10 credit with their first deposit of $10 or more when they enter the promo code MATIC on signup. It's available in the App Store or at ThriveFantasy.com. That's promo code MATIC for a $10 credit. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The TakeCast. My name is Davis Matic. You can find me on Twitter at Davis Matic. In this episode of the podcast, we go through the teams that are remaining in the NCAA March Madness Men's Basketball Championship Tournament with my boy Big T, Tony Newhouse from RotoGrinders and Sharpside. I just think it's, you know, college basketball is fun to gamble on. Even if you don't watch until the tournament comes around, these games are pretty good. A lot of the players that are playing right now are future NBA players, and you know, I just like to bring you guys helpful content to allow you to gamble on sports more often, because you know that's really what we are all here for. The show, of course, is presented by dailyroto.com and rotoexperts.com. You can get a discount on those products using the promo codes Rory and Matic. Rory for dailyroto.com, Matic for RotoExperts. And if you want to support the show, you can always leave a ratings and review on iTunes, or you can get bonus episodes of the show on the Patreon, patreon.com/takecast. $5 a month gets you all sorts of bonus content. Now let's get into the show. All right, everyone, bringing in a ringer to the show, my boy Big T. We're talking more college basketball, more March Madness. Tony, my guy, how you doing?
What's up, my man? I don't know about the ringer part. I'm no empire maker, but I'm excited to come in here and talk some college hoops. This is the time of year where everyone actually watches college hoops. I don't think many people watch before March, including myself. I don't watch a ton before this time of year, but I love this 2 or 3 weeks period where we watch the brackets go from 68 now down to 1.
Well, I mean, now we got a lot of good basketball. There are a lot of good teams left. Like, you know, there's a lot more skill involved in these games, and been a super chalky year thus far. There's only one double digit seed left in the Sweet 16. None of the number one seeds are out. I think all of the number two seeds are still in as well, which is
the threes. Yeah, you got all the ones, all the twos, all the threes, two of the fours, and then a 5 and a 12. And the 12 isn't a normal 12. I mean, it's Oregon, who just won the Pac-12, who just beat two teams by 20 in the tournament. Like, it's got to be the most loaded Sweet 16 of all time, but not even really close.
Making Bill Walton super happy. The whole pack. I did watch the conference tournaments, and the whole conference tournament for the Pac-12, Bill Walton was just hammering on Oregon being in the tournament, and they would not have made it if they didn't win the tournament.
There's nobody better than Bill Walton when he's got a good high going during the game. He smoked his weed or whatever he does before the game, and he gets some good ones going on there.
A dude he has, I don't even know the guy's name, that does the broadcast with him, has to just hate him. Like, because he's like never talking about the game, and he's just like asking him if he's read a bunch of books. Like, it's so good.
It is the best. Nothing about basketball, and he'll go on tangents about just like nothing. I think that guy's name's like Dave Pash.
Dave Pash, yep, that's it.
There's nobody better than Walton though when he gets on some weird tangent.
So before we get into the game by game for the Sweet 16, do any of the outrights look any good to you? I have the only outright I hold right now is I have Tennessee at 16-1 that I bet before the tournament, and after winning two games, their odds have not changed at all. They're still 15-1, so you could still get that ticket if you wanted it.
That's one of the weird things I was going to talk about today is, so if you were holding a ticket on a good team before the tournament, almost everyone has the same or worse odds, which is crazy after winning two games. But the reason is, like we just talked about, all the good teams are still
it's,
in.
So it's like, not like any of them are getting – like none of them are getting to play St. Louis University in the Sweet 16, like just because there's no teams like that left.
Just no one left, like no soft spots. I mean, even Duke, I mean, they're going to have to play Va-Tech and then LSU or Michigan State. Like, there's just no soft spot. If you win it this year, you're going to earn it. There's really not – there's not a single weak team left in it. I mean, the worst team in it is Oregon, and like I said, I mean, they're legit. So, I agree. But as far as outrights, we looked a little at this last night when I was doing a show last night about college. Some of my favorites are like Auburn. You can get good value too, I think, just to make the Final Four, some of these region odds. Like Auburn right now on Pinnacle is plus 450 to win their region, which Auburn, if they hit their shots, they're gonna be legit. And then another team, Houston, is plus 370 in the same region. So you can even take them both. Carolina and Kentucky are in there, obviously, but Kentucky, P.J. Washington still hurt. No one knows if he's going to play. And Auburn and Houston are both legit. And I like both of them to win it all, too. I think they're both like 21-1 right now. Let me see. Yeah, Auburn 21.
You can get deeper odds on Auburn on Bovada is 28-1.
Yeah, like I heard FanDuel too, actually. Dan Bach actually texted me earlier today. He must have listened to the show last night, but he said Houston is 50-1 on FanDuel, which if you can get 50-1 to win it on Fan, that's just ridiculous.
They're 22-1 on Bovada,
and they're 15-1 on Pinnacle. Like if you can get 50-1 on Houston, you better just pound that thing like that. That's ridiculous. They're way too good to be 50-1.
Probably the only team that I would consider betting now would be Florida State at 35-1. They are just good. They have
this is crazy to me. 35-1.
Yeah, they have six guys who are all above 7 BPM, which is like most college teams have like two guys above 7 BPM at this point in the season. Like they just have a lot of guys who can play. Like they just like that's my big observation from this tournament is that Florida State seems like they were probably a little underrated.
They're just so – I mean, they've beat everybody, too. They lost to Duke at the buzzer when early in the season. They beat Virginia. They just beat – they have just beat everybody, all the talented teams. And you look at their team, like they look like an NBA team when you're watching, just like you said.
Yeah, a bunch of 6'8" dudes who can all do a little bit of everything.
So long, so athletic. That is the Davis Matic team, though. That's your brand. Like the athletes out there just showing off all their skills going on.
I mean, the reason that they're priced that way, though, is that they have a game coming up against a number one seed. They have to beat Gonzaga.
If you want to play a one, though, it might as well be Gonzaga. Like, I love Gonzaga. They're good. They're talented. But we don't really know, do we? Like, they haven't played anyone.
I mean, they don't play anybody all year. They never do.
Nobody. You just don't truly know, which means two things, though. They could be better than we think, or they could be just not as good as we think. So they're going to be tested now, though, because they're going to have to beat Florida State. And then, obviously, Texas Tech and Michigan are two great teams, too. So.
Yeah, so let's go through these games. The first game, Wednesday night, we have Florida State Gonzaga. I think I would take 7 points with Florida State here.
Yeah, it's just like you just said. Like Florida State, super talented, played a much better conference. I think they played Duke two times. I don't know. They played obviously in that conference. I think they.
I mean, they
could.
They were going to beat Duke during the regular season, and that horrible Duke guard hit. He hit a legit buzzer beater to beat.
He was wide open. That was during the DK championship in Vegas. That was one of the games I bet there at Florida State. The dude was wide open on that play too. For those of you that didn't see it, like somehow the Florida State had a complete blown coverage, and this dude is just wide open with just butt naked out there, hit wide open three to hit and drilled it.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I think I probably Gonzaga. I the chances, like, they just play good basketball. Like, they just play a good brand of basketball that's actually pretty conducive to winning in March, because, like, they can shoot threes, they can play defense. But, like, the chance of Florida State, like, out-athleting them, I think, is real. This would be, like, if I was going to pick against any of the ones, it would be, like, this would be the one I would pick against in this round.
So the issue for me is I agree with everything you just said, and I kind of like Florida State. But then when you dive into it a little deeper, like, the public's going to be all over Florida State.
Yeah,
they
people
saw
like
the same
to fade.
Thing we saw. Yeah. Like, right now it's like 67 to 70% of the action looks like it's coming in on Florida State. You never want to see heavy action on a dog in this spot. Like, no one knows about Gonzaga. Like, everyone thinks the same thing we're thinking, where – they're in the West Coast Conference. They got to play all these athletes. I mean, it's just typical thinking. Like, it's the way we're both thinking. It's the way everyone's thinking. It's tough for me. Like, the number looks too big, too. Like, even this weekend, I was like, I think the spread's going to be like 4 in this game with how good Florida State looked. It comes out like 6.5, 7. It's gone up to 7.5. I lean Gonzaga just based on the numbers, but I don't like it. Like, it's not going to be a game that I'm overly invested in by any means. Just because we don't know about Gonzaga. Like, I'm a little worried, though. I'm scared when the public's on a dog like this.
I think the only good public dog the first weekend of the tournament was UC Irvine. Everyone else, yeah. Like, the big public darling Yale, they got slapped. Northeastern by KU, they got super slapped.
They got beat by like 30. Yeah. Oh, it was bad.
So I think a lot of the people, like, you know, they love to bet the dogs in March. So some of the prices for dogs get to be less favorable. Like, if Florida State is like sort of a public team at this point, especially in this spot, so maybe that's influencing the number. Next game, I feel pretty confident in picking Tennessee over Purdue. Tennessee is good. Brad Woodson, Grant Williams, like, those dudes are ballers.
We're gonna have our first contradiction then. Like, Tennessee, man,
they like to play. I'm getting incredible sweat equity on this 16-1 Tennessee ticket.
Oh, that, I forgot you got your ticket.
Yeah, they almost lost twice.
So last game, obviously, they're playing Iowa. Iowa's a similar team to Purdue. They're up 25. Iowa just plays their ass off in the second half, comes all the way back, sends it to OT, and then gets beat up in OT. Tennessee is so talented. I mean, obviously more talented on the circuit. Again, another Davis Maddox team, like, all the athletes, super talented. I can see why you like them, but, man.
Yeah, I just, like, in general, probably I'll never, ever bet or root for a Big Ten team. That's, like, it's, like, the most anti-Davis Maddox shit in the world.
It is. I'll agree with that, too. Like, the Big Ten is painful to watch. Like, they're just a bunch of white dudes that are fundamental, like, no athletes, hardly. I mean, obviously, sometimes they have them, but it's just – it's tough to root on the Big Ten teams, which I completely agree with. But, man, Purdue just – pounded that Villanova, the two-time defending champ Villanova. I know it's not the same team, but
yeah,
two-time defending champ. They got champs on that team. They got a championship coach. And Purdue just gave them the freaking business, beat them by like 25. The number looks short, too. We got the public's on Tennessee right now. I like Purdue a decent amount. I think Purdue's a nice dark horse to come out of that conference, too, out of that region. They're 17-1 on the Pinnacle's odds are sharper, though, because what are they on Bovada, Purdue?
I just moved – let me pull the futures page back up. I just moved to the lines.
I should get off the – don't bet them on Pinnacle if anyone out there is listening. All these prices look sharper on Pinnacle, obviously, like always, than other places.
So Purdue to get out of their region plus 375?
What about to win it all?
To win it all, see, they're way shorter. They're 15-1. They're the same as Tennessee.
Wow! So they're 17-1 on. They're seven. They should be the same as Tennessee, though. I mean, the spread's 1 here. They should be pretty similar, but I mean, 15-1 to win it all. That's. I definitely don't like that. I mean, they would have to beat Tennessee, Virginia, another great team, and then another great team. Obviously, they can't beat 4 straight teams. And only 15-1. That's just insane, but. I definitely like Purdue in this plus. I mean, just money line. It's only 1, 1.5.
Yeah, I mean, the line is close enough, and you're getting a little bit of extra value betting the money line versus betting the 1.5 points.
I'll probably regret it, though. In Tennessee, all these guys come out and start swarming them, but I just think Purdue's a better team.
Well, isn't Tennessee's coach just like the worst? This is where I wouldn't know anything because I don't watch college basketball during the year. But isn't Rick Barnes just like literally the stone worst? Like, don't people just hate this guy?
I've never liked him. I mean, he always choked at Texas. I feel the same way about Florida State's coach, though. And people I've talked to like jumped on me about this take, saying Leonard Hamilton from Florida State is like some great coach. And I just like he has unbelievable talent every year, and he never wins with it. So I don't understand how you can be considered a great coach if you never win with your talent. But
Rick Barnes, I'm looking at his college basketball reference page. He's made one Final Four in 24 years of coaching.
Yeah, I mean, this dude, he had Durant at Texas, I'm sure.
Yeah, right? He did. Yeah.
Yeah, like he had tons of good players along the years. He's always been that type of guy that has good teams and just never gets it done. They tried to choke it away last week, and I still haven't figured out why, but, like, Admiral Schofield, one of their better players, like, why did he never come back in overtime? I don't understand if there was something wrong or what happened with that.
Yeah, I don't have any real answers. Like, they even got played close in their first game, though, which is just – you don't ever want to see that from a two.
And it was like 12 to – right away they jumped out 9-10 nothing, and everyone was like, man, they're going to pound this team. And then Colgate somehow – I mean, the freaking toothpaste company hanging around, and what was 77-70 I think was the final, like that.
But it was closer than that.
Yeah, like it was there for sure.
Yeah. All right, next game, Michigan, Texas Tech, a total of 126 for this game. Tech with that crazy defense. I sort of think that Michigan will be able to handle them, though.
we're going to be contradicting on a bunch of them.
The listeners should definitely agree with you because my observations are based off of watching, you know, two games for these teams. Although I think that that this John Teske guy may be my least favorite player to watch in the tournament so far. Do not like watching this dude.
Oh, Kelby. So first of all, we got the top two teams in the country, basically, by KenPom as far as defensive rating.
Yeah.
Two just great defensive teams, which is why we got such a low total. Beeline, Michigan's coach, always comes up with game plans that are really good at this stage of the tournament. Maybe they'll run a matchup zone. Maybe they'll run – who knows what he's got, a half-court trap. He's always got some gimmick defense that seems to work this time in the tournament. So you never want to go against Beeline, but – Texas Tech, man, again, like, they play Buffalo. I love Buffalo.
Yeah, they just destroyed Buffalo.
Just stomped a hole in their life, like, ruined them. I mean, just pounded that. That team didn't score for, like, 10 straight minutes at one point.
Yeah, it was brutal.
Michigan's another team, the same Big Ten team we're talking about, where it's just – you look at them, and it's like they got these big, slow, white dudes that just play basketball. And, I mean, they're good. They're great. I mean, Michigan's a great team. This is another game that – I mean, I don't think you could have a super strong conviction either way. I mean, two teams are great. It's a two seed versus a three seed, two great defensive teams. I kind of like the under, too, but I definitely lean Texas Tech in this one.
Yeah, I mean, I have no significant argument for that.
That Culver, too. Like, you got to like that Culver from Texas Tech. Like, that guy's a stud.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah, I do like him. All right, next game we have Oregon and Virginia, 8.5 points. It feels like this is probably the time where Oregon gets ran and gets played like a 12 seed.
So, yeah, we'll have to agree on this one. Originally, I was kind of thinking, like, Oregon matches up good with Virginia. All this length, all these athletes. But then I'm thinking about it, and it's like I was talking to a few of my buddies, and it's just like Virginia never loses to teams that play the same style. Like, they're just better at it. They lose to teams that can run and gun and stuff like that. Oregon's a slow team that plays defense just like Virginia does. So, and another factor, this is another one seed that's kind of getting no action. Like, everyone's on Oregon plus the 8.5. They're getting a ton of the action right now. Yet the spread opened at 6.5. It's up to 8.5. So you got a little reverse line move on a one seed. I kind of agree. Like, I think Virginia pounds this team. The only worry at all is sometimes Virginia just – literally, you can't score, so it might be tough to cover 8.5 if you can't score, but It looks
eight,
like a
eight
great
and a half in a 127 to, or let's see.
What's, 119 what's now.
Yeah. Oh man. 8.5 points in a total that low is like a lot of points.
It's basically saying Oregon's not going to score. Like Oregon's going to
have to saying like Oregon's going to get, they're going to be like Montana versus Michigan.
What is the, I got to look this up. So what's their, let's see what their team total is.
I mean, it's got to be here. I'm pulling it up on Bovada right now. It's got to be super low.
56, but the under's minus 123 on Pinnacle. Like 56 team total, and God, that's just the funny thing is, I don't know if they'll get there. I really don't. I kind of like the under on the 56.
I mean, this guy Peyton Pritchard for Oregon. That's
Dean,
another dude.
That's the Dean from old school. We locked in a dumpster, didn't we? I got out.
That's another dude that I do not enjoy watching play basketball. Just like the unathletic white guard who wears the baggy t-shirt underneath his jersey. That's like my least favorite genre of March Madness player. Like I just like watching the, and the thing is people on Twitter always love those guys. Like, who was the BYU point guard, Alex Kraft, maybe?
And that was Ohio State, but his name was Kraft.
Yeah. Yeah. People love those guys. And I'm just like, this is not the brand of basketball that I enjoy watching. I'm not in on that. This next game, it's a 3-2. I did not think that Michigan State would be favored by this many points over LSU. LSU seemed good to me just from watching, but Michigan State is a 6-point favorite over LSU.
So LSU is going to beat a lot of teams just by straight athleticism and just overwhelming them with just athletes. That's not going to happen with Michigan State. Michigan State's always one of the toughest teams. I mean, again, though, it's another Big Ten team that's going to play super tough, super sluggish like that. It's just how they play. But the problem is Michigan State can score. Like, Izzo, we got to get into that, too. Like, did you see all this Izzo thing?
You're kind of on the other side
of the political spectrum of me, but we don't have to get into that. But Izzo, like, how is he in trouble for yelling at a kid? Like, I want to hear you, because you think differently than me about stuff like this.
I mean, I played sports growing up. I got yelled at. My dad was my coach. He used to yell at me. Like, I think people that, like, are making the argument that you wouldn't be yelled at in a work environment are making like a disingenuous thing, because it's like sports are very emotional. But like, no, I don't think that like rich old white coaches should be like, you know, strictly talking down to their players all the time. But yeah, like that is part of sports. Your coach is going to yell at
you. Is it talking down on him though? Like, is it really? Like,
I mean, probably not. Like, he was probably just like, I can't believe you blew this defensive assignment. I didn't even watch the play that led up to it. Like,
it's funny because I don't know what the play was either. I just seen him, like, completely. I mean, he was pissed. They were holding him back. But, like, everybody that's played sports has got yelled at like that. I mean, I'm a white dude. You're a white dude. Like, I wouldn't be offended if anybody yelled at me like the coach. Like, I don't think the players are the players weren't mad. Like, Draymond Green, these other guys that played for him. They said they got yelled at. They're not mad about it. They love
it. I would never be mad. Honestly, like, and I would be closer, like, politically aligned to the people that would get upset about a coach yelling at players, but I wouldn't get mad about that. There was, like, I can't remember the college football coach, but there was one maybe a year ago or so who, like, hit one of the players in his face mask or whatever. Yeah. That's not cool to me.
When it gets to physical violence like that, that's where I draw the line. Like, I don't care what wording he – I mean, obviously, if he gets, like, racial with it.
And I don't think – I don't think Tom Izzo would get racial with one of his
players. Like, I don't think at all. Like, that's obviously crossing the line. But outside of that, like, I don't even care what he said. Like, if he called him names or, like – as long as it's within the context of basketball and, like, blown assignments. And
yeah, if you haven't been yelled at and been called an idiot for blowing a defensive assignment, like, this is, like, I generally hate the argument, oh, well, like, you haven't played, so you don't understand. But, like, I mean, come on, your coaches, like, it happens in the NFL. Those dudes get yelled at for blowing assignments. It happens in the NBA.
Dream that. Like, profanities, like, that's how you get – this is the highest level of sport, like – it has nothing to do with the work play. What is your boss going to come in? I mean, it's not the same thing at all.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on this, which is, I mean, I just think it's sort of reasonable to be able to be like, you know, whatever. It's just sports. People, emotions just run high. You know,
it's like who knows what the backstory is too. Maybe in practice the whole week he's teaching him to box this guy out, and then he goes out there and just blows his coverage. And I mean, it doesn't matter to me. Like that's how you get, I guarantee that guy respects it too, and that guy's going to be better from it just because of that. There's no way.
I also had that guy in DFS that day, and he sucked.
Everyone did. He was like chalky that day. That's the funniest part.
Yeah, and he sucked. So I also wanted to yell at him. So like, there's a little bit of that going on too.
That's the best part. We all wanted to yell at him because he was terrible.
Yeah, he was horrible. So LSU, I guess probably the issue. So an issue that these teams run into is when like some of your best players are bigs, like Naz Reid or whatever for LSU. I actually think that's like kind of a disadvantage in these tournaments. You want your best players to be guards, which I mean, I guess like Tremont Waters is like probably their best offensive player, but he's like a little undersized. He's listed at 175 pounds on College Basketball Reference. So I guess he's like their, you know, their best offensive player, but his true shooting is like not great. It's like 53%. It's not like he's like, I don't know. Is he an NBA prospect, Tremont Waters? Probably.
Yeah, I mean, I'm terrible with stuff like that. Unless I, like, see the big names, obviously. I never know those. He's probably maybe too small, but he is talented, though. And it's going to be an interesting matchup between him and Cassius on the other end. I mean, how big is Waters? What's his profile, do you know?
I mean, I know – let's see here. Tremont Waters, NBA mock draft.
He's 6 foot 175 by his profile, and Cassius is 6'1", 185. So they got super similar profiles as far as just body type.
It looks like Tremont Waters is maybe not an NBA prospect because there's not a ton of stuff out here about him.
What grade is he even in? He's older. He's 21. What is he, a junior or senior?
Yeah, I think he's supposed to graduate next year.
Yeah, I mean, you watch him, and he looks like a really good college player. I don't know if it's going to stretch. Like, when they needed a bucket tie game at the end, he got right to the 10 and stuck it in and got that W for him. But I don't know about the next level. This game's tough for LSU, though. Like you said, some of their best guys are big guys. Their best guard, obviously, is Waters, but he's got to go against a better dude that's the same profile as him, Cassius. I mean, one of the best dudes in the country as far as just pure college basketball.
Yeah.
It's a tough spot for LSU, I think. It sucks siding with these Big Ten teams because I'm like you. I don't
necessarily – Yeah, you're going to be watching a lot of, like, really good fundamental defense and boxing out this next week.
And that can't be good for LSU either, though. Like,
no, I think, no, it's not.
LSU should dominate teams that are just soft and all that kind of stuff, but Michigan State's not. How many Big Ten teams are left? Michigan State, Michigan, Purdue. So there's only three. We just happened to talk about all three already, I guess.
Yeah. Next game, Auburn, North Carolina. Auburn almost lost early on. They played one of the most mystifying games. North Carolina feels like they are, like, good enough to just sort of handle like a middling SEC team, kind of no problem.
So the issue with Auburn, everyone is just going to come down to if they make shots. Like when they make shots, they beat anybody. They ran through the SEC, which there's four SEC teams, right? LSU, Kentucky, Auburn, and I thought there was one more. Who am I missing? LSU. Who's the fourth one? I thought that maybe they just lost in the last round. LSU, Auburn.
That's it. And Tennessee.
Tennessee. Yeah, so Tennessee's the fourth one. Yeah. LSU, Kentucky, Auburn, and Tennessee. So four SEC teams. And Auburn just beat all these teams in the last stretch. I just – if Auburn makes shots, they're going to win this game. If they don't, they're probably going to lose by 20. I don't really think there's – like, if you like Auburn, you should just bet the money line. Spread's 5. They could easily win this game, or they could lose by 20. It sounds like I'm taking an out with that, but it's the truth. Like, Carolina's going to leave them open for shots. Carolina does not play great defense. That's why the total in this game is 165. It opened at 160. It's up to 165 already. Even the coach, they interviewed the coach, Bruce Pearl. He's like, you better bet the over in this game. And the press conference said that. Yeah. Like, it's going to be a track meet. if Auburn makes shots, they're going to win this game. But it's just a matter of if you think they stay hot. I mean, they just pounded Kansas by just a 30 spot or something. If they make shots,
I mean, Kansas is so bad.
Kansas is awful, but yeah. I mean, they embarrassed them. They took their soul in that game.
I don't have a strong take on this one. Also, the North Carolina name probably gives like a point or two to the line. So in general, betting against them is like I would assume that like on KenPom they probably have Auburn as like a close team. So the bet would be the points or the money line for Auburn.
Yeah, I mean I like Auburn a lot. Like Auburn, they have everything going for them. That you should love Auburn. They got all the athletes too.
Yeah, bunch Auburn. Of threes. Yeah, I actually picked them winning this particular game, and like I think probably like I think I made five brackets, and I think I had them winning this game in like four of them.
I think they can too. I really do. Like they're playing super confident. They just won the SEC. I mean, they're not a five seed either. Like they were favored over four seed Kansas. I mean they're probably a little higher seeded than they should be. Kind of like we talked about with Florida State. It's just a tough year when all these good teams advance.
Yeah. I mean, what are you supposed to do when all the number one seeds are through, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's tough for sure.
All right. Next game. I'm not betting against Duke. I have Duke over Virginia Tech. I mean, RJ Barrett is horrible. RJ Barrett is for real, like, my least favorite dude. Like, he is, like, this thing that, like, tilts me about March Madness. Like, these, like, sort of athletic guards who are just – they have the worst shot selection ever. Like, RJ Barrett is like if Nick Young couldn't shoot, basically. Like, it's just bad.
Hey, Duke is one of the weirdest teams to watch ever. I'm sure everyone watched that game last week. I think they played maybe the toughest possible matchup for them just because – they didn't guard Trey Jones. They didn't guard whatever the sorry other guard's name is, Goldwire or whatever the other sorry Duke's guard name is. So yeah, if you don't have to guard two dudes, like you literally leave them wide open and you can camp a 9-foot dude in the middle, it's going to be a tough matchup for Duke no matter what, unless those two guys can make a shot, which they didn't. I mean, Trey Jones was awful in that game. The other guard, I mean, he's awful always, so it didn't matter, but I have no – and on top of it, they had – Dawkins had, like, the best possible game that night, too, and they still beat him somehow. I think it gets easier, just like you just said.
I mean, Zion is just – like, he's too good, man. He is for real.
They have a 9-footer they got to go through now. Like, that was tough for Zion, and he still got 30-plus, like, or whatever he ended up with.
I mean, I just – I won't be picking against him. And my whole thing is I've just been trying to, like – leverage as much as possible. If Duke doesn't win, how can I benefit myself financially from that? Because I just think it's so likely that they win that some of the odds on certain things have gotten skewed. Like I didn't pick Duke in any bracket just because like I think like on ESPN, I think like 40% of people in like the big like bracket challenge or whatever had Duke winning.
It's tough on Duke, too, because all these teams – Duke's one of the teams, for example, that was like 2-1 to 250 to start out to win the whole thing. Now they're like 3-1 after winning two games just because all the good teams advanced, so their path is even tougher. But that being said, they still have the most talented team. If they make any shots, like if Trey Jones can somehow find a jump shot, because they're not going to guard him again after the blueprint's out. He will be wide open in this game, and he has to step in and make a few shots. If he keeps missing shots, it's going to be a battle versus anyone. But I agree with you. Duke's one of my favorite sides. I still love Duke to win it. I'm way overexposed to Duke, even on the short odds. Like, I got all my action on Duke. It would have been a rough March if they lost that last weekend. But
I mean, if Cam Reddish and RJ Barrett can hit like 35% instead of like 28%, that will make like a very big difference to how
the
they.
The crazy part too is Cam. What's his name? Barish. Like he. What's his name? Now I'm drawing a blank. Reddish
it's,
or
it's
Barish?
Cam Reddish and RJ Barrett.
Yeah, like I was confusing the two names. But that guy's been awful all season. And then he hits the biggest three of the year. They were down four with, what, 2 minutes left? And he steps in and just drills that big three to save the season. I agree. Like, if they make any shots, no one's beating Duke. They don't even have to shoot a great percentage. Shoot 40%. Shoot 50%. You're just going to murder teams. So, I love Duke. I think Duke might be my favorite of the 2 days. They're going to pound Virginia Tech.
So our next game we have, or the last game actually, is Houston versus Kentucky. And it sucks for Kentucky because it looks like they're still probably not going to have their best player, PJ Washington.
Yeah, so it's the tough part. I mean, obviously I live in Kentucky. Everyone here roots for Kentucky. PJ Washington, though, going into last weekend, even before the news broke, around here everyone was saying his dad didn't want him to play. His dad wanted him to sit out. Obviously, NBA prospect, big-time talent. Doesn't want to get hurt playing college for free. Like another, we could talk about that forever, too. But he's still in a hard cast. There's been rumors that maybe it's coming off, maybe it's not. But if he doesn't play, man, Houston just looks so solid. Even if he does play and he's a little banged up, Houston just looks like a team that could make a run. Like, you watch them play, and they just look like a good team. I mean, they got tons of talent, run and gun, kind of like Auburn. That's why these two teams kind of – I like both of them. One of them to come out of that bottom region. But I like Houston. Even though I'm a Kentucky guy, I just think Houston might be the better team. They got
the guns. Their defense is sick. And they're two leading guys in field goal attempts and minutes shoot above 38% from three. And then their third guy shoots 35% from three. This is like what a good marked team looks like. Like, sick defense can hit threes. Like, those teams win.
And especially from the guard, too. Like, Corey Davis is a beast. Like, 6'1", 190, just average 17, I think. Like, the guy is just a stud. Like, he's a senior. You don't see a lot in college where these guys get to be a senior, but that gives them that extra swag, that extra confidence. Last year they lost on a buzzer beater to Michigan in the tournament. Like, he's been thinking about that for a year. He wants revenge. He wants this Final Four. I like how Houston looks. They're loaded. I got them to the finals in my bracket, so I'm obviously super high on Houston.
Yeah, I think betting Houston plus three here with Kentucky without their best player, I think that, like, I actually could go to this game. It's right down the street from my house, but I'm like leaving on a trip the next day, so I'm kind of trying to decide if I want to go to these games.
Go down there, because these two games, you got Carolina Auburn too. You got two good games.
Yeah, I'm kind of trying to think if it's worth it to go and then have to get up at like 6 o'clock the next morning and go drive. I'm debating it.
To do it.
Yeah, I think I might go.
Region too, like these. If you had to choose any region to go to, these four teams are exciting.
Yeah, I think I'm probably gonna try and go.
Yeah, you need to lock it in. I'll be interested to see what this game too with the spread. Like, if PJ does actually play, like they cut the cast off. They can't cut the cast off and him play. Like, I just don't see it. This guy's
he's
an NBA
not. I don't think he's going to play. So I think there's a little bit of baked-in value here with Houston, actually.
Yeah,
I agree. Calipari, I don't even really think he's, like, that good of, like, an in-game coach or anything. He's just a sick recruiter.
I think he's underrated as far as building a team throughout the year. Like, they're always way better at the – I mean, that has a lot to do with talent, too. Like, I'm not saying it doesn't, but they're always way better at the end of the year than they were at the beginning. Like, they were awful at the beginning of the year. Now they're good. I agree, though, in-game, like, he doesn't feel like he makes too many adjustments besides just rolling the ball out there.
Yeah. All right, man. Tell the people about Sharpside, where they can get all the giblets.
Yeah, I mean, you can check my stuff out. We've been doing a podcast on there. I try to bring guests, kind of like Davis does, where I bring on guests from different platforms, talk about different things as far as making some money, some giblets. You can check us out over on the Sharpside app. I mean, everything's building up. It's still a newer app, newer site, but more stuff coming on there day by day. Tons of contests you can get in for free to win some money now.
Yeah, the app is cool.
Yeah, the app's getting better and better, too. I mean, there's a bunch of apps like this out there, but they're adding new stuff every day. I think the winner of the March contest got – all you do is pick the games on there every day. Just for fun, it tracks your record. And then the winner of the month, I think, got like $500 or something just for free. So it's cool to check out and make some picks. And then you can listen to the podcast on iTunes or wherever. It's just called Print Factory.
So give
it a listen.
All right, man. Thanks. Thanks for coming on. I'm excited to go make these bets, and I'm gonna go look at some March Madness regional tickets.
Thanks, man. Fun as always.